Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's August 1st, 2014. You're listening to the most mobile poker cast on the planet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Yes, we are coming to you again from the beautiful Atlantic Ocean. Today, literally almost from the Atlantic Ocean. We're on my balcony of our room here on the Enchantment of the Seas during our Antioch Poker Cruise.
Beautiful blue water. I just want to have a disclaimer right away.
Wind.
The last time that I did a podcast outside on a cruise, Chris vilified me, and I just want to say that today this was his idea to do it outside the balcony. So
okay, so we have
if you
nice
have trouble hearing it. It's Chris's fault.
If you find your urgency to have to get up and go to the bathroom, it's because there's the waves in the background, that ambient noise that's relaxing you. But there's not going to be any wind. There's no wind here. We're barely even moving. It's like we're coasting. You know, they usually say
the cruise went a whole total of 12 nautical miles.
I know, so
Nassau Coco Cay back to Port Canaveral.
Yeah. So we're enjoying ourselves this week. We're having, and it seems like no matter what side of the ship we're on, there's oil tankers out there, which is always
we are an oil dependent nation.
Yes, we are overly dependent on oil. It's one of our biggest problems here. All right, enough chit chat. Yes, we are on the Antioch Poker Cruise. Things are going well. We're going to talk a little bit about that in a minute, but something very exciting happened, Scott. We have arrived.
Yes.
You know how I know we have arrived?
I do not know, but I have a guess.
All right, so the other day, my son gives me a call from Connecticut, and he says, "Hey, guess what?" And I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I just saw Ante Up on a TV show." And I'm like, "No way." I said, "Oh, let me guess. Windy City Poker Championship, right? A little call out to our buddy Kirk and our friends in Chicago." I'm like, "You must have seen one of their tournaments on like MAV TV or one of those random channels that show, you know." And he's like, No. I'm like, "All right, well, I'm trying to figure, did you see it? Was it in the World Series? Like, was it a repeat of the World Series? Somebody wear our patch or something?" He's like, No. I'm like, all right, I'm out of guesses now. Well, how did you possibly see Ante Up on TV? He's like, "It was on Hoarding." I'm like, "We were on Hoarding? What do you mean we were on Hoarding?" And he says, "Yeah, this guy, he had so much stuff in his house, in his room. It was like 6 feet of garbage. And Ante Up was at the top." And I'm like, "What
are
you
rises, baby?
The cream rises at the top." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, "Do you remember the name of the episode?" And he said, "Yeah, the name of the episode was The Trump of Hoarding. There was this one guy, he just kept so much stuff that his sisters came over to help him, and they couldn't even open the door to his house. They had to push as hard as they could and then squeeze, and then one of them literally almost fell like off a railing and fell down 20 flights to her death just to try to get into this guy's apartment." So she gets in, and he even tells me, he said, it's like around the 14:30 minute mark where they're looking, it's like B-roll film,
right,
looking at this guy's horrendous place, and as they're scanning through the garbage, at the top of like a 7-foot heap, you see, or I think it's November 2013 issue, right? It's the copy of Anthony Zinno, is that
Zinno,
it?
Yeah.
Zinno. He won the Borgata Open, and he's on the cover. And there it is. You see it right there. And, of course, it's on top of a Bluff magazine, which I thought was pretty awesome. But, I mean, it was just, all it did was just set off all these things in my head. I'm like, "Holy cow, Ante Up, so good you can't throw us away." That's like a whole, you know, go to advertisers and say, "Hey, you know what? Our magazine is going to be around forever because people will never put this magazine down and they'll never throw it out." I was so excited. I felt like we really made it. I mean, yeah, okay, so we've been on TV before, Ante, you know, for poker things, but to be on a random show about garbage,
random show
we have totally made it.
Yeah, there's so much I need to talk about this. I mean, I was actually at the storage unit prepping for the cruise, you know, loading ships and stuff, when you texted me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So then I was peppering up, like, you gotta find out the episode, where it is, and all that. So then I just couldn't wait, right?
Right.
So I get done with all the stuff, I get out to my dad's truck, and I'm on my phone, and I'm trying to see if I can... what I want to do is I want to program my DirecTV receiver, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought you said hoarder, so I was looking at all the hoarder shows, and I couldn't find the Donald Trump of hoarding on any of them. And then I'm like, oh, this sucks. And then somehow I guess I figured out hoarding buried alive. I mean, one, how many hoarding shows are on TV now?
That's so sad.
How many do we need, right?
How sad is that?
So I finally find that, and so I watch a clip, and that's all it was, and then I didn't see it. So eventually I was able to record it on demand. So now I'm driving home, right? And knowing by the time I get home, I'm going to be able to fast forward to the 14-minute mark, because I don't want to watch the rest
of
it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And so that's exactly what I do. When I get there, and I watch the first 5 minutes, because I just want to find out. I've never seen any shows, right? I just want to see who these freaks are.
Yeah.
And literally, I get 5 minutes, and I'm like, I can't. And plus, I'm eating like 3-day-old pizza while I'm watching this thing. And I'm like, all right, I can't do it anymore. I guess fast forward to 14, got there solid, took my little picture, and the first thing I thought of is, man, Chris's son is. We need him out there trying to find the Malaysian jet. I mean, I knew exactly where it was. And I almost missed it myself.
I know,
he was
too.
Just randomly watching the show. Hey, it's Andy Huff. So, first of all, yeah, we need to hire him for some kind of, like, clandestine stuff. So I thought that was interesting. And then, we were asking, we were trying to figure out the episode, or the issue, and you figured out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So here's the funny thing about this, all right? So it was a November 2013 issue, Anthony Zeno, right? And often when people are on the cover of the magazine, they'll call me up or email me. It's like, you know, hey, I want to order some extras, you know, give to friends and family, right?
Right, right.
But he called up, and right after that, he's like, you know, hey, I'm sending them out as Christmas gifts or holiday, whatever. I think it's Christmas gifts, but holiday gifts or whatever to my friends and family. He's like, I'm willing to pay for them. I need to buy as many as you can. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't mind sending you some for free, you know. So I looked, and so I sent him some, and then he wrote back, I need more. So I literally sent him every copy that I could spare. I mean, we're going to keep some in our files, but every copy I could spare, I sent it to him.
Yeah.
Still wasn't enough. I don't know how big this guy's family is, but they're huge, right? So the only thing I could think of when I'm seeing this anything rotting on the top of this heap next to this jug of apple juice that's not apple juice.
Oh, don't even get me started on that.
Is that which aunt or uncle
is he related?
Yeah, did not get a copy with Christmas because this guy had it on top of his rotting, stinking thing. So then the second thing is, so I took a screen grab. I took a picture of you know, I paused it, right? So I had the hoarding buried alive on it.
Right.
Put it up on Facebook. I thought a couple people might laugh, right? By the time, I didn't check before we got on this cruise ship, but, you know, most Facebook posts you get maybe, if it's really gooey, you might get 20 likes and 5 comments or something like that. A couple days earlier was our anniversary, so I posted our wedding photo.
Oh, right? Yeah, yeah.
I think we got like 160 likes and 20 comments.
Wow.
Hoarding photo, more than 100 likes, 60 comments.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
So almost people were more interested to see our rotting copy of our issue on hoarding alive
than your rotting marriage.
Than they were that I survived 14 years of marriage. The people love this story. They're
wow.
Like, oh my gosh.
I couldn't believe
how
it.
How did you find it? How did you see it? And, oh, man.
It was remarkable that he saw it. I mean, really, when you see it. I mean, I guess if your eye happened to fall that way and you're familiar with our covers, you know, the lettering of our masthead or something. But the way he pulled that out of there, and then he actually rewound it, and he had his wife with him, and he's like, honey, that's Annie Up, right? And she's like, yep, that's Up. Because all you saw was like the UP and a little the E. But the minute I saw that cover, I knew exactly which cover it was. I ran to my stash and I was like, pulled it out, and I'm like, it's Anthony Zeno, it's November 2013, this is awesome. I called like everybody I knew, I called my parents, they're all like, you made it, honey, you made it.
Yeah, that was the caption I put on Facebook. It's every magazine publisher's dream to have a copy of this issue featured on hoarding buried alive. But, you know, I guess, I mean, as impressed I was that he saw it, I mean, I guess I can kind of see it because when you're watching these shows, and I've never seen any of these, and I hope I never have to watch another one unless our issue's on another one.
Yeah.
I think you're just mesmerized by this, right? That that people can just live in this field. So when you're watching it, you almost want to, like, your eyes are going, what exactly is this guy keeping? So you're like, oh, look at that. Okay, so the magazines, all right. There's apple juice. There's not apple juice. And so I guess you're probably a little bit more focused than you normally would. But there's a ton of stuff in this guy's apartment.
One of the things that confuses me is, all right, this guy's a hoarder. What exactly is it about the magazines that he's keeping it for? Is it because he's like, oh, there's an article in there by Joe Navarro that I can't let go. I want to, you know, what is it that he wants to keep about our magazine on that particular reason? Now, he's got, a lot of the times it's irrational thoughts. And so I'm starting to wonder, what is it that this guy saw in our magazine or even the Bluff magazine or whatever it was, but why is it that he can't let this one go? And a lot of times,
well, let's be honest. There's probably our complete collection buried somewhere in that. Yeah. It's just the one that we saw. Yeah. So
is he a subscriber?
Well, that was the other thing I was telling people. I was like, I don't know if I can bring myself to actually go through our subscriber files and see if there is a... Because they gave his name and the city. And
yeah.
Probably see...
Piece it like, together.
I mean, that would be the most awesome story, right? If this guy's actually a subscriber and he's holding on to it. I'm sure he's not. Because at the beginning of the show, you probably remember when they showed him, you know, they did a little B-roll thing and he's going and fishing through trash cans and picking magazines and newspapers out and taking them home. So he obviously has got a compulsive mental disorder.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, we don't want to make fun of him too much, but...
No, you only called him a freak early on.
Well,
that's
Well, that's a too much. I mean, you got to make fun of him a little bit, right?
Not if you had this disease. It wouldn't be funny. But it does make you wonder, like... You know, there's all this random stuff that he's got a reason for keeping every single thing that he keeps, though. There's a reason why he won't let it go, and I wonder what that reason is with ours. Is it like he wants to take up poker someday, or that he is poker, and one of the flaws in his game that Joe is dealing with in his column, or, you know, or something like that? Was a particular photo of a woman in there he thought was cute? Who knows? So I that's one of the things that ran through my mind, is why is he keeping
it? The other argument somebody gave me is, what makes you think that one of Anthony's aunt or uncles didn't get a copy? Maybe he's the one that got the copy.
Yeah, that's right. You're absolutely right. That might be related to Anthony Zeno. And the other thing, too, is, you know, when we used to talk about whether or not we were successful as a magazine or a company, one of the things that I used to gauge was when we went to Vegas and we found out the bums were taking our free magazines and trying to sell them on the street, you know? So there's all these weird random things that make you think, hey, we're actually making some sort of significant dent in the poker world or the real world, you know? People selling it on eBay. Oh, special issue of Annie Up. It's not a special issue. They're all free. There's nothing special about any of them. They're just magazines, but these guys are selling them on eBay for money, even though they're free, so... But that was a really nice way to kick off our vacation, you know, was to find out that we were on that show, and I feel bad for those people.
Yeah, obviously. But, you know, I also don't know, these reality shows, you know, I always question how real they really are. I mean, I'm sure they didn't truck in a bunch of trash and pick this guy out
right.
of Central Casting and do this, but... You know, the whole time I'm thinking about, you know, when the sisters are squeezing themselves in.
Right.
And then you got the guy, like, floating on top of his thing, right? The camera crew's in there, too, or some camera guy.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So where is he in this whole thing?
Yeah.
It just seems a little illogical. Then the guy wants to be on, walking around, picking out trash. I mean, I guess everybody wants their 15 minutes, but...
Yeah.
I'm a little dubious about some of these reality shows.
And like you said, the apple juice jar that didn't have apple juice in it, that just totally, because at first I didn't even pay attention to that. I'm looking at the magazine, and then somebody said that, you know, like, and did you see the apple juice jar that wasn't apple juice? And I'm like, oh man, you had to tell me that? Oh, it was so nasty. And I've seen those other shows too, and you just feel so bad for them. You can't watch. I just can't contribute to that.
Yeah,
no,
absolutely not.
Of course, now I'm contributing to it because they're bringing it up. The magazine was on it.
We spent 40 minutes of our cruise podcast talking about it, sure. But no more. That's it.
No more.
That's all we're going to get to.
Scott was considering like doing a caption contest. Or something. I'm like, I'm not going to expose this guy and, you know, take advantage of him. But I thought it'd be a great ad campaign. You know, so good you can't put us down. But that, again, is taking advantage of this guy, so we didn't do that. But some interesting things happened this week on the cruise, or are we just having a pretty nice random week, nothing really too much to talk about?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that we talk about this a lot, this is our 16th poker cruise now, which one is mind-boggling to think that we're at 16 now, and we'll be at the Baltimore cruise is going to be our 20th, so we're going to figure out what to do to make that special, because, you know, 20 is much more special than 19 or 21.
That's right. It means something.
The one thing I really, really enjoy about these cruises, and we haven't seen them in the last couple just because we've done different departure ports, but certainly these Florida ones, we get a lot of our repeat guests back. And I think the first day was so cool. We were sitting there, and people come in and check in, Most will check in and walk out and see the ship. On that first day, we had almost all repeat passengers were just sticking around the room because it was like a reunion. You know, everybody else would walk, hey, Joe and Kelly are here. Oh, Bobby and Sharon are here. And, I mean, these were folks from Texas, Florida, New Jersey. They're all over. It's not like they're all in their same home game and they come on the cruise ship just hang out.
That's right.
And they look forward to seeing each other, and they were disappointed when they come on and they ask, hey, where's Neil? Oh, he didn't make it this one. Oh, really? And so I think that's really cool. I mean, one of the things that, you know, we're talking about doing some other stuff here at ANEF that hopefully we'll be able to announce soon, but one of the things that someone was telling me is that we've been really good at creating communities.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the PokerCast community has been really strong all the way from the beginning. I don't know if we have a huge community of magazine readers. It's kind of more loose-knit, but the cruise definitely is a community that we've created of these folks that, you know, keep in touch on Facebook or email in their home, probably run into each other, but they come on the cruise ship and they're looking forward to seeing these people as much as they are to come on and play poker and have a good time.
Right.
And so I think that kicked this cruise off on a really good note for me, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I know exactly what you're talking about. It was so cool that, you know, at first I'm thinking, do they have nothing to do? Oh, is that why they're hanging out? And then I start realizing, no, wait, they enjoy all this. They enjoy our company. They enjoy the other people's company. And we literally, while we're signing people in for the cruise, we had like 7 or 8 people there. We're just gathering around, telling stories and talking about how their kids are or, you know, how their lives are and everything. And you're right. It is a community that we've built up. And you see them all like congregating together and at dinner, or they take their excursions together now. And it's really pretty cool. We had a lot of our ambassadors around this time, too, which is really good. We had Robert Kelly from Oklahoma and Mike Young from the Mid-Atlantic region. And just it's so nice to see and, you know, have them be able to come and experience this with us, too, as well. And it was a summer one, unique. We had a lot. One of the funny things this week is we have like 800 Argentine teenage girls.
Yeah. Actually, not even lying, 415 is the actual count.
415.
You can imagine 415 14 to 15-year-old Argentinian girls and angels for chaperones. Yeah. I can't imagine chaperoning that group.
I know, crazy.
Very interesting cruise, nonetheless.
But they're everywhere you go, and it's something that you don't know is going to happen because you book a cruise. You book our itinerary long in advance. But, you know, a lot of people bugged us. They said, hey, you know, if you have one in the summer, I can go with my kids. I'll be there.
Yep.
But it didn't turn out that way, really. I think it was mostly just repeat business, and a couple of families did it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling folks on this cruise, but we did have a couple. Actually, it's always the school teachers, right? Mm-hmm. We actually have 3 school teachers, I know, that are on here, and they came up because they saw our list of upcoming cruises, which we'll mention at the end of the show. And they're like, hey, Scott, not over in the summer next year. What's going on with school teacher? And I'm like, well, I mean, this is the deal, is that for the longest time we've had school teachers and parents asking us to do one in the middle of the summer. And I kept telling them the reason we don't. And the reason we don't is because everybody wants to cruise that time of year. It's the high demand season no matter where you're cruising from. And so they jack the prices up. And when you jack the prices up, then people start comparing, well, I can go on the same sailing for $200 cheaper.
Yeah.
3 months from now, so why would I go on this? So I knew our numbers would be down a little bit. It ended up being right about where I thought, and it's fine.
Yeah, we still got 100 people. I mean, that's right, it's exactly. Not a number of people. It's just that you think when you're telling everybody, hey, all these people we've been telling no to for all these years, they're all going to line up and come, and it didn't really work out that way. It just ended up being a pretty average-sized field.
Well, yeah, there's people that request, and there's people that actually are
actually
fine doing
through.
It. That's,
yeah.
That's what I thought would happen.
That's true.
I knew for sure that... yeah, when I say, oh, it's going to be more expensive, oh, that's all right, no problem, I don't mind paying. And then, oh, well, I don't mind paying, I don't want to pay that much.
Exactly. Some people don't understand the concept of the cruise pricing and stuff like that, so when they finally actually investigate on it, then they say, oh, so that's what we're always talking about on the show and saying what they cost and everything. Prepare you for that, so when it does come around, when you can go on, you're ready for it. And but it was great. I loved seeing Ben on the cruise this week. Ben is a friend of ours through the show. Through JLB Sox, Jason, up in Connecticut. I've played in their home game. They've played in our home game. And he finally had a chance to come out with his wife and kids. And he's been in the room. He's in the tournament right now as we speak. It was great to see him. I know he listens to the show now, so shout out to him. We were going to have him on the show, but we're doing the show while he's in the tournament. So, but we appreciate him coming out with his family and everyone else, of course. We're very glad that they came out. And this is our first time on this ship. And the Bahamas, did you want to...
No, we've been on the ship before. This is our
The Enchantment?
Yep.
When was the last time we were on the ship?
The last time we were on it.
No, but was I on the ship?
I assume you were.
Was it a
pork? Was that a pork and arrow? You always get a pork and arrow.
Just pork and arrow?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
All right, so anyway, Scott apparently said we were on the ship before. I don't remember it. I thought we were always on the Monarch out of the out of there, but apparently we've been on the ship before. I don't remember it at all. Maybe it was on Tampa.
So fun,
was it on Tampa, maybe?
No, it was at Pork and Arrow.
Yeah, I don't remember the ship at all. We're going to have to talk about that after the show. But, you know, it is what it is, and we're having a lot of fun. And did you have any poker stories that happened to you during the week that you need to talk about?
Yeah, I didn't want to immediately start off with open-faced Chinese, but that's my big story for the cruise.
Okay.
And, I played every night, and, we got this 5-10 Omaha E game going
right.
The first couple days, and that was a lot of fun because we have a lot of the Omaha players that are on here. And we played a couple sit and goes and a little no limit hold up. So nothing really to speak of in any of that. But usually when in the afternoon when things get a little slower in the room, our manager Ramsey tries to get a Chinese game going just to keep us occupied while people are playing. And he has been, like you, one of these holdouts,
yeah.
As well as our cashier, Ole, who's making us first cruise. All three of you have been huge holdouts on this Chinese thing, the traditional missionary position Chinese poker is what
yes.
you guys like. The whole rest of the world is gravitated towards open face now, right? So I would begrudgingly play these guys in the regular Chinese, even though I'm falling asleep, they have to wake me up in a... Well, it turns out he's seen the light, right?
Yeah.
And now he's playing the open face, and so we decided to sit down and play open face. We played heads up for a while, and then one of our dealers came over and it loosely played Chinese, but never played it the way we were doing. And we were playing open face pineapple, too. It's a whole different thing, because once you have 4 hours of one game, you get bored, you got to create something new.
Explain right? pineapple to them.
So, yeah, so anyhow, Chinese poker in general, you're given 13 cards, and you got to build three hands, a five-card hand, three-card hand, and in descending order. So your bottom hand has to be stronger than the middle hand,
right.
And your middle hand has to be stronger than the three-card hand, right? Open fish, you get five cards to start with, and then everybody gets one card at a time as you go around. So it's more like a puzzle rather than a... Pie gal.
Right, and you have to set your hand in front of them.
Exactly.
They have to see your cards, whereas
right.
in the other one, you set it all at once and nobody sees it.
So
right.
you end up potential fouling your hand because you don't think. So with pineapple, you start with a five, right? And then every time, instead of getting one card to place, you're given three cards to place.
Okay.
And you have to throw one of them away, just like in pineapple. And so you place two, you throw one away.
Right.
So the advantage of that is when you're playing three-handed now, so when you play four-handed, every card is exposed. So you can sit there forever, literally, and count your outs and figure it out. This way, cards are not exposed, so
yeah.
it's a little quicker.
Yeah.
Plus, it causes that little consternation, just like it does in Pineapple and Hold'em, right? Where you get three cards that all can help you, and you got to decide which one you want to chuck.
What
so
a pain.
It adds a little bit more pain, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was a lot more fun. So one of our dealers sat there and watched for a while, and she's like, all right. Pulls out her money. I'm in. So we're like, all right. So we played three-handed for a while. And then folks that don't know this, in the open face, there's this thing called Fantasyland.
Yep.
All right. So if you get a pair of queens or better on top, and of course, don't foul your hand. Everything has to work out. You go into Fantasyland. And that means the next time you're dealt all 13 of your cards. Actually, since this is a pineapple, you get 14 cards. You're like,
you're throwing one away. Wow.
You get all your cards right away. You set your hands hidden, not open, but hidden. And obviously, that's a huge advantage to be able to set your hand exactly like that.
Sure, because you're not going to follow your hand, definitely.
Exactly. And then because there's royalties paid in this, you can really front load your hands and
yeah.
really maximize. So, really, you're going to screw someone.
Yeah.
One, you probably collected a crap ton of money when you won the hand to begin with, but now you're in fantasy land, you're probably going to.
Yep.
And then if you can get a regular Chinese poker natural. In fantasy land, you stay in fantasy land again and really just
jeez
take somebody's house, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're playing, and then it's not limited to one person in fantasy land. If all three of you or two of you qualify for fantasy land, everybody goes to fantasy land,
right?
So there was a hand where both Ramsey and our dealer both got into fantasy land at the same time against me. So now I'm playing against both of them. So one, I just spewed chips to both of them to begin with. Now we're both in fantasy. Now I'm going to spew chips to him again, right?
Yeah.
So the way the hand came down, I ended up building straight in the middle very early on, which is always dangerous.
Yeah, ooh.
But my strategy, and I think the strategy should be when you're facing Fantasyland, is really to go for broke because you're
right.
going to pay us anyway,
right? Yeah,
you
exactly.
might as well try to get a strong hand.
Yeah.
So it goes straight in the middle. I had three spades on bottom. I was going for that flush, right? I ended up, after that, building a pair of deuces on top, which is almost meaningless. You don't get any bonus points for that, but it can win.
Yeah.
And then, so the next draw, I get a deuce.
Holy
cow.
So
I'm looking at it, and it's not a spade, right? And I'm like, well, then once you think for a minute, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer, you put it on top.
Now you put it on top. Now if you hit that spade, now you actually have a potential now, but straight in the middle, trips on top, which is a massive
huge, ability. Yeah.
And if you hit the flush on the bottom, I might actually not lose any money. I might actually win money.
And go into fantasy land.
Going to fantasy land. And so then, all right, so we're down to have two cards at the place. So you get all three at the last time, right? And you have to check one.
Right.
One of them, my spades were 7, 8, 6 of spades.
No way.
One of my three cards on that last draw was a 5 of spades.
No way.
So now you're thinking, I was just trying to get my flush, right? But now if I get a straight flush in the bottom, that's 25 bonus points. The straight in the middle is 6 or 7 or something like that, I don't know. The trips on top are going to be another 15 or something. I mean, that's
unbelievable money.
Right, and I'm sure I'm going to crush them all. And they already set their hands. Of course, I didn't hit the 8 or the 4 or a spade, so I found my hand and then I off. But that was probably the most amazing hand of pennies I've ever seen. And that's why you play the game. It's just so exciting.
Wow. And I'm still a hold up.
You're the only one left on the
No matter how exciting that sounds.
You're the only cashier.
Yeah, I just don't do it. I don't know. Maybe it's... And I know there's more strategy to it. And we were exactly a year ago today, we were in Dominican Republic.
Yep.
And Sam was teaching me. Like, literally, a year ago today, I think he was teaching me the game. And trying to give me some tips on it and stuff. But it didn't get my interest up. I just didn't... I don't know what it is. I do like regular Chinese, but I don't even like playing that for money anymore either. I just want to play poker. But, all right, so this week for me, I have literally this week just trying to be someone that fills a seat in the poker room. If they need somebody in a game, I go and play it. And I'm not really trying to win a lot of money. I'm just trying to, you know, not go broke. And that strategy didn't work early on. You know, I sat in that Omaha 8 game that you were in, which I hate. And it was 5-10. It was the biggest I ever played Omaha. I never played any bigger than that. And it wasn't that big of a deal to play 5-10. It made no difference. But I ended up dropping a bunch. Like, I dropped like 100 in that game in like maybe an hour and a half, you know. And it's hard to do that. But, you know, in Omaha 8, anything can happen. So... I didn't like that. So then I went and played Nolan Hold'em. And I don't like Nolan Hold'em anymore. You know what I mean? I would rather just play our home game, play Stud 8, play those fun games or whatever, play Omaha as part of a mix or something. But I'm really over the Nolan Hold'em thing. But I only make money playing Nolan Hold'em. So how... I mean, it's a contrarian view here. You know, you sort of like, okay, I hate this, but it's the only thing I can do to... I make all my money back when I play Nolan Hold'em. I don't... It's like looking the gift horse in the mouth, you know what I mean? I shouldn't do that, but when I sit down in Nolan Hold'em, I'm just like, ugh, I'm so bored now. I'm bored playing that game. I mean, yeah, there's the sheer moment of terror when you are making a bluff or when you pick up a big hand or something, but I really am just so looking forward to, like, I know we're going to have a home game with Doc. You're not going to be here. You're going to be out of town, but we're going to have a home game, I think, when I get back, the next weekend. And I'm so looking forward to that because those are the games I like to play, and hardly ever Nolan Hold'em gets called unless somebody's really stuck. And I can't believe that I have come or I've gone down that path in the last 7 years, you know, or whatever, 8 years. That's all I played before, and now it's like I dread playing it. But I did play it this week, and was successful, and I won all my money that I lost in Omaha 8 back, and now I'm up for profit. It's so weird. It's like I feel like a hooker, you know. You know, you don't want to have sex for money.
I'm very ADD as well too when it comes to poker. But I got to think everybody is. I mean, think about anything you do in life. You know, if you do the same thing for 20 years,
yeah,
it gets boring, right? Yeah. It's got to get boring unless you have a way of shaking it up somehow.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's another reason I'm so happy that we've learned all these games and play them, and we get the opportunity to play them. It's fun to mix it up.
Yeah.
Because you're right. I think if I just had to play Nolan and Hold'em from now until the day I died, obviously it's poker. I would love playing it, but I think eventually, just human nature, you get bored with it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you lose focus.
Something else.
Yeah. absolutely.
And no doubt, probably 5 years from now, you'll be out here on the balcony here recording show going, man, I haven't played Unlimited Hold'em in 5 years, and I love it now. And you're going to go all the way back full circle, so that's just the way it is.
I wish the poker world never went to stud 8 as the most popular game. It made it boring for me. All right, so I got a little bit of a hand of the week. I kind of talked with you a little bit about it, but I want to bring it up in case the nation has something to say about it. And then we can talk about our cruise schedule for the next year. I was playing Unlimited Hold'em. And I had a reputation of being very tight because, like I said, I was trying to just fill a seat this week and make sure the games kept going and talk to the people and talk up our other cruises and entertain them and stuff. So I really wasn't being super aggressive. I was folding just about anything. And when I finally did pick up a hand, I was making big raises so that they would just fold and I'd pick up a little bit of money and I wouldn't have to take their whole stack or whatever, you know, which is totally wrong. I should be playing maximum potential with everything. But it's a cruise and it's a business, and I'm just trying to have a good time, make sure they have a good time. So today, that night that we were playing, and you were at my table, and you were here for some of this, I had pocket aces, and I made a big raise, and I showed him. And the next time I had pocket aces, I made the exact same raise, and I showed him. So I had this sort of reputation of not only being tight, but the only time I played a hand was aces, you know, in raising. So we get into a hand where I'm on the button, and it was 9-handed. You weren't there. You had gone to go play a sit and go. It was limp. Okay, and the blinds are behind me. And it gets to me. Now we're playing 1-3 no limit hold'em. I have about 200 in my stack, maybe a little more. And I decide to make it 23 to go. Okay. I have ace of clubs, king of hearts. The small blind calls, the big blind calls, and everyone else folds. Okay, so we're looking at about 70 in the pot or so to start. Flop comes deuce of clubs, four of clubs, and then like three of hearts or something. Okay, so I have two overs. I have a wheel draw. And it goes check, check. So, of course, the only time I've raised all day has been with pocket aces, so I'm going to represent that I'm the tight player that I am. And I decide, I think I bet 20, even though, no, it was 30. So I bet 30 because it's about half the pot. I think there was probably like maybe 65 in the pot after the rake or whatever, so maybe there weren't that many limpers. So I bet about half the pot. I probably should have bet a little more. But when you're thinking, you know, you've only got 200 in front of you, you've made it 25 to go, and now you're betting 30, you bet already a quarter of your stack with nothing. So I bet about half the pot. Caller and a caller. So now I'm kind of putting them on either they don't believe me or a club draw or a straight draw. They could have the same ace as me, or maybe they have pocket sixes and they've got, you know, gut shot or pocket fives and they're open-ended, whatever it is. So I'm trying to narrow their hands down to a calling hand. So the turn is like a club, but it's not, it's like a seven of clubs or something. So it doesn't complete a straight, but it's still sort of, you know, random. There's no, I'm not really worried about it if I have an over pair, but I am worried that the clubs got there. But I have the ace of clubs in my hand. So the small blind checks and the big blind bets 40. Do you call? Because you have the wheel draw, two overs, and the nut flush draw?
I think I do.
You do. So there's like 110 out there, something like that. And you call, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I called.
Because again, this is a game of stacks. This
right.
We talked about, we did the our round top table this morning, and Chris led it, and that's exactly it. When you're, there's a difference between no limit hold'em and limit, is that you're trying to play for stacks. So there's
right.
an opportunity there to really get paid off, then I'm willing to pay a little bit more to for that opportunity.
And this guy had pretty much exactly the same stack as me, so I knew I was going to double through him if I made my flush, or even maybe my wheel if he didn't. Maybe he hit the turn card, you know. So who knows? So I make the call. It was 40 to win what I think was probably 110, 120, something like that. It was like 3-1 on my money. So the funny thing is I counted out 40. And I put it next to my stack, and I was looking back at my stack to see how much I had left and how much I could win. Before I knew it, the dealer took the 40 and pulled it into the pot. And I'm like, I guess I'm calling. So he made it easy for me to call, but I think it's the right call.
Yeah.
So the river is another club, and he checks to me, and I put it all in. And he gives it a lot of thought, and he's like, He's like, "Oh, you gotta be kidding me! That club kills me." And I'm like, "Oh, you got a baby flush?" And then he's like, just looks at me, and I said, "I know what you're thinking. You're thinking because I had aces all night. Every time I raised, I probably got the ace of clubs, right?" And he's like, and I just, you could tell he just did not want to call, but he couldn't live with it. So I knew he had the king of clubs. There was no doubt in my mind he had the king of clubs. And it turned out he shoved out all the money, put all his money out there, and he had king 10 of clubs. So he calls my raise preflop in the blind, out of position, with king 10.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's not a great hand, it's suited, but
trap hand.
I could have very easily had ace jack of clubs, you know what I mean? And so I just wondered if I had played that wrong or not. I don't know if I did.
No, I think that's perfect.
It's exactly the way you would play it.
And of course, you got lucky and hit.
I got lucky, but I felt bad because he made me feel like, how could you, you know? Or maybe he just felt bad that the queen of clubs came on the end or whatever it was. But he, you know, I just felt like, anyway, that was the hand. That was the biggest hand of the week. I had another one where I made a full house and somebody had top pair, top kicker, and I got paid off. But other than that, really, those are the only two hands I really had all week.
I did have another fun hand in a sit-and-go last night. I was in the big blind, 5-tray offsuit. And I think it might have been min-raised or something. It was a very small, whatever it was. Maybe either a small blind I only had to complete, or the big blind was a small raise. I'm like, all right. Very early on in the sit-and-go.
Right, right.
It might have been like the second hand, first hand. And so the flop game, 4, 6, 7.
Uh-huh.
So flop the straighter. I'm like, how does this ever happen, right?
Yeah.
And I tried to slow play. Player next to me who's probably the best single player that's ever been on our cruises. Bets out. I'm like, excellent. This is what I want. Another guy calls, comes back to me, and I'm like, I'm not gonna get cute. I'll raise now. And now that we got three in there, and there's two suits on there. And I'm like, so I raised to 400. So got the strong player out. The other guy called. I'm like, all right, good. Got a customer. Next card was the 3. So it's the worst card you want to see when you've already flopped it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But, so I keep the pressure on, and we ended up getting it all in.
Uh-huh.
He turns over, obviously, a 5 and something else. Got to turn over with him. And I think he had whatever it was. It was a really low 5. It was a 5-deuce or...
Yeah, just as bad as yours, really.
Exactly. And then when I got here, it was like, oh, good to know we're all playing solid cards at this table tonight.
Now, it brings up a point, too. We, as Scott mentioned a second ago, we just had a ante-up roundtable discussion. Kind of takes the place of the advanced kind of discussion, because I really feel like when we get to talk about hands and you have that little sort of conversation with 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 people, you get some really interesting things going, really interesting topics and some different points of view. And it's interesting that people were asking me, you know, how do you play like 3-4? And I'm like, you fold it. It's very simple. You fold it, and then. But it's remarkable how many answers are. It depends.
Yeah.
For every single question, it really is, and it's. People want black and white answers, and you can't give them a black and white answer for anything. You really can't, and it that's what makes the game so amazing.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's what makes it so brilliant. But at the same time, I just, you know, I want to give them the best advice possible, and most of the time it's fold. It's fold, but then you have to create a scenario where they have to play that hand for them and stuff. But I really enjoy the roundtable discussion, even though I don't really consider myself advanced at anything.
But I mean, that's the genius of it, is that, and I think the reason we kind of switched to that was a lot from our PokerCast listeners, actually, because they a lot of the ones that don't have poker friends nearby where they can sit and talk about it, that's what they liked about the forum, and it's what they liked about the show. I mean, the show's not, obviously, interactive back and forth,
right.
But they feel like, you know, they don't have the opportunity to talk things out, and so when you get them in a group like that, and no one has to be a fantastic player, everybody's got their strengths, so when you start talking, everybody can help each other out with their leaks.
Exactly.
I think people really enjoy it, even though it's not, you know, somebody like Greg Raymer teaching them a course. It's
right.
An accomplished player. So.
Right. Yeah, being the facilitator is nice, because you can say what you think, but there's no pressure on you to, you know, there's always somebody else that's going to help you out.
Yeah.
You know, so you get to just sort of guide the conversation rather than lead it. And that's always really good. And I felt like most of the time when we had pros on here, they would want to just talk about themselves or confuse everybody. You might get one concept from them, and that might be valuable to you or whatever. But really, the best time is when you're having a conversation with these pros, when they're at the dinner table with you, talking to you, or when you do these sort of labs and stuff. And that's what we're trying to recreate here, is just getting 10 poker minds together, talk about something. Now, of course, if they're all terrible poker minds, you might be having bad advice. But generally, you can weed out what is good and what isn't, doesn't make any sense. And that's what we try to accomplish with it. So we have a lot of fun with it, and I'm glad we actually eventually got to do it. I somehow misread our brochure or something, and I thought I was supposed to teach it at 9 o'clock, and it was at 3:30, and I wasn't there for it, so I got a lot of ribbon for that. But we finally got it off the ground this morning, and it was really good. And the people I thought were going to show up showed up, so that was really cool, and I was glad to lead that discussion. And but we know we'll be leading more discussions in the future because we've got more cruises coming up, lots of cruises.
Yeah, I know we've kind of briefly mentioned these before, but I just want to remind everybody, since we're out here on your balcony looking at the beautiful water, that they could be joining us for 6 more coming up through next year. And remember, go to andyupcruises.com, get all that information, including where how you can call Chris's wife Jeannie and book. But all of them have something special going on, so just real quickly I want to run them down. Our next one is October 19th. That's our first time sailing out of Galveston, Texas. First time going to Honduras and Belize. Very excited to see those ports. We already have upwards of 90 people booked for that right now with a couple months to go. So that's going to be a really good 7-night cruise.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Yeah.
And that's important that you book before August 4th. That's coming up here just in a couple of days. That's our rate guarantee deadline. After that, we can certainly book you, but we can't guarantee price or availability. So hop on that one as quickly as you can. Next one after that is December 15th out of Tampa, and folks might remember that this is a date change on this, and the good thing about that is it's a higher demand cruise, but Royal Caribbean kept the rates the same, is giving everybody a $75 onboard credit, so that makes that cruise very, very, very affordable. So come out and enjoy that one. This same ship in February at a much cheaper price because it's not in high season.
Yes.
And it's a good little 4-night cruise. I think people come on here and have a good time for a couple nights, and it doesn't they don't take a whole week of vacation for it. So join us for that one, February 9th. April 10th, we're back out of Baltimore. That was one of our strongest cruises that we've done in the past, so looking forward to going back up there. And we added a couple port stops on that one, so going to Key West, which I know everybody likes. So that's April 10th. Join us for that one. And then October 25th is our real creative one next year. This is a 13-night one-way cruise. It's going to start in Boston. Is it Boston or is it Boston?
It's Boston.
Boston, Massachusetts. It's going to go to really great ports in the Southern Caribbean. St. Kitts, St. Lucia, Barbados, Aruba, Curacao. Port stops that we never hit on our other cruises.
Right.
So come join that. And that's a one-way that ends in Tampa. And then what we're going to do is we're staying on the ship that same day. People that want to leave can get off. The people that are going to come on our normal Tampa cruise are going to come on, and we're going to go immediately and sail again for 5 nights on the Tampa cruise at a really great price. That one's only $399 for 5 nights. And if you want to come on both, we're going to give you a little incentive to stick around, and you can stay on board and play poker for 18 straight days.
That's pretty crazy.
Really crazy.
Yeah, and then don't forget that date change means $75 credit. And I really thought I had it in the brochure. I don't know where it's not there, I guess. But we talked about it in the...
Oh, you also thought that the advanced classes...
Yeah, it was at 9 a.m. So I don't know where it went, but it was supposed to be in the brochure, I think. I remember making it bold and red, too. I don't know where it is now. I have no idea what happened to it. But I think Scott edited it out on me. But enjoy these cruises with us. We're having a real good time. And like Scott said, we're building a community. And next week, we'll be back to our regular stuff. We'll wrap up O'Malley's move. And we'll talk about PokerStars next week, too, about the big sale.
And I'll be coming live in the Antioch World Championship. I guess we should get a last plug-in for that.
That actually started
yesterday at Thunder Valley Casino Resort in Sacramento, California. Obviously, I'm the cruise, but I will be out there late on August 2nd and playing a bunch of events. And I know a lot of other folks are showing up. It's going to be a huge event, so come out for that. The main event, August 9th or 10th. I don't have it in front of me, I should know. but go to antiomagazine.com/world championship for all the details, and that's going to be a $16.50 buy, and the winner's going to be on the cover of our next issue of the magazine.
That's right. All right, so another good show, and let's say goodbye from the Atlantic Ocean. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727 831-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.